today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Faith is not in mustering something up of our own accord. Can you imagine? You and I are sinners. Can you imagine God giving to you that kind of power? Hey, whatever you want, just claim it. You just have enough faith, buddy, and you get her done. You go out there and you, I claim that, I move this. It'd be like you giving knives and, you know, Uzis and stuff to your two-year-old. Go ahead, go for it, be safe, whatever you want. No, God knows better than that. It's not faith in what we want. It's not faith in faith, mustering it up yourself. I gotta make it happen. The faith that moves mountains is faith that looks to Him.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
An act of faith is more than just saying you believe something. It's not simply claiming something to be true or working really hard to make it happen. As we will hear today, faith means looking to God in the midst of whatever our circumstances and following Him. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 20, with his continuing study entitled, Victory Comes by Faith.
But he says, if you'll move those things, if you'll just trust me, if you'll have that kind of faith, which is big faith, even though you're just moving a little thing, you'll overcome huge obstacles, but you got to have faith in Him. The problem before them, the disciples, it so overwhelmed them. Now, this is a big problem, that they could no longer see God's authority. All they could see was the problem. I've been there too. You've been there, you're just consumed by the whole problem, the whole situation. And it can be very difficult, but let me tell you something. We are doomed already if our eyes are on the problems more than on the Lord. When our eyes are on the problems more, we get discouraged, we get broken down, we break down into tears, we don't act like those who have any faith at all, we fall apart. But when our eyes are on the Lord, we realize He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, He is good. And like Job said, even though He slays me, still I will trust Him. If I lose everything, it doesn't matter. I'm going to trust Him. He knows. That's faith. And that keeps you moving. But whenever our eyes are on the problems, here's what happens. We begin to take things into our own hands. We use our own understanding. We use our own reasoning. Our own, if we were victorious with our own schemes and plans before, we start to bring those back and we start to try to control things ourselves. We take care of number one, and then we start to react out of fear rather than by faith because we're on our heels. We're in defensive posture. I'm going to defend myself. And we react in ways other than those that require faith and that demonstrate that we trust the Lord. See, our faith is to be in the Lord. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, Jesus is using some commonly used phrases that the rabbis actually use. So Jesus didn't invent these phrases. He's actually using phrases that were used commonly by the rabbis. And so they have a meaning. And the disciples understand this meaning. The rabbis would often talk about mustard seed faith. If you just had a little bit of faith. Faith in what? Because Christ hadn't come, and obviously the rabbis didn't believe in Christ. Well, faith in God, faith in His word, His promises, His trust, trusting in Him. The rabbis would often talk about if you just have a tiny bit, that it would be small, but it would be enough to turn into something great. Moses, tiny faith, but look what God did. And so that was the idea. That if you just put a little bit, if you just put anything, your faith in God, it'll become something very impressive. They would also talk about faith that could move mountains. It was a figure of speech. When Jesus says this, we'll talk about this in a moment, but He's not telling them, if you claim it, You can actually move a mountain if you want to. This is a figure of speech that had been commonly used, again, by the rabbis to speak of difficulties. We even know the terminology today. The phrase is today, you make a mountain out of a molehill. What are we speaking of? Problems. There are problems. Some problems, however, really are mountains. They are very big problems. And what he's saying is that you can remove or endure or persevere through or go through any problem, no matter what size. The Jews would say of a teacher who could help them solve their problems that he is a rooter up of mountains. He says, if you just have enough faith, and from Jesus' perspective, it's to look at me. Yes, look at my word. Yes, take in the promises. But for Jesus, they're looking to him now. If you'll have the faith to do that, rather than look at your problems, you will be amazed at what happens in your life and how you'll be able to endure it, and you will be a witness in it. Rather than falling apart and crying out all the time, people will look at you and go, how do you get that strength? Because I trust the Lord. I don't know where it's coming from. I just know I keep my eyes on him and I see how big he is and how good he is. He can do whatever he wants and I trust him. And you become a light. You become a witness because God becomes real. And then when they do see the mountain moved or they do see it blasted and you get through it or whatever happens, they look, they connect your faith to what happens and they go, wow, this is big. So to fix our eyes on the Lord, George Mueller was a man of faith. George Mueller was one who ministered to orphans in Bristol. He had several orphanages. He was a man who just trusted in God by faith. And there was one story in particular after his ministry was exploding and children were being ministered to and seeing God working by faith, by providing for them. He had a speaking engagement in America and lots of people were asking him to speak. And he really felt drawn finally to come and to speak in America. And when they were on the ship, they were on their way, there was a heavy, heavy fog. So dense that the captain of the ship said, we're not going to make it for your speaking engagement. We can't move at all. I mean, I can't navigate through this. This is horrific. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any letting up for some time. And George Mueller said, nonsense. I really believe with all of my heart that God ordained that speaking engagement. Now, he's not claiming it. He just says, I believe this is God. God did this. And so let's pray that if this is God, that he removes that fog. And so the captain goes, he's going to go down and pray with him. He says, no, I'll pray. You don't have faith. He said, you don't believe it. So sure enough, they go down and George Mueller prayed. Amen. When you read the book, it's as if the fog lifted almost immediately. The captain went up and was amazed. He said, this can't be anything but the hand of God. And George Mueller just smiled and said, you know, when God is in something, it doesn't matter how it looks. What matters is we just fix our eyes on him and God gets us there. Gladys Aylward was a missionary, small woman who went into China. She, one time when there was a riot in the prison and it was out of control. People were being beaten and killed, and guards did not even want to go in there. They were afraid. They had a machete. Somehow they had a machete in there, and there's just fighting and everything going on. And this little woman who believed in God, who the Chinese weren't so certain about, except that she did believe in her own God, they'd seen that this God had done some amazing things, and she had such great faith. Well, these big guards were afraid to go in there, so she's there. They ask her, go in there and calm the situation. Go in there and fix the situation. And Gladys Aylward was, she was afraid. Here's these big guys. They need to go in there, sin, and me, a little woman. But what got her attention was they said, you believe in God. Your God will protect you. And when she said that, she realized it was God on trial, not her. And this was an opportunity. So she thought, I'm going to believe in you, Lord. I don't know what the result's going to be. But I'm going to go, and I know that you can do whatever you want to do. And so by faith, not faith in what the outcome might necessarily be, but faith in God that he knows, she went in, and in the midst of a swing, calmed everything down, just said, stop! This one guy, much bigger than her, and she calmed the whole situation. and even, because of stepping in that opportunity, came up with the whole economic system to help future riots from happening. So they have a way to work hard with their hands and provide for themselves even though they're in prison. And God just poured out just wisdom and everything that she needed when she stepped into that situation. She didn't just stand there and claim it. It was a mountain before her that someone else set there, but she walked and the mountain was moved. That's what happens when we get our eyes on Jesus and we're willing to trust and follow him. The Israelites learned about fixing your eyes on the Lord. It was a lesson that they should have learned so they could apply it to Jesus. But in the wilderness, they were told when they were rebelling and grumbling and complaining, and God sent the plague of snakes, and they were biting and people were dying. He said, look, here's the cure. The snakes would represent sin destroying them in the world. But he said, here's the cure. Look to this tree. Look to this stick with the serpent on it. Look to that. If you look to that, then you'll be healed. You won't die. I'll do away with the plague. And that was by faith, because that didn't make sense at all. All right, look at a stick. And yet, it was what God required. And today, the same thing is true. On a stake, on a stick, on what we would call a cross, Jesus, though he wasn't a snake, yet he did become sin. And so in that sense, just as that snake represented the same sin that was destroying them, he became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That if we would look to him, if we would put our eyes on him, if we would follow him and trust him, we would overcome. We would no longer die from the sin disease. But we would be able to be overcomers. But it is by faith. He says they were able to move mountains. This has nothing to do with you coming up from your own desires saying, I want to move this mountain. I want this to happen. I want it to be this way in life. And claiming it like this positive confession kind of thing. That's psychology also. To some degree it works. You know, we motivate ourselves. We get ourselves hyped up. Athletes do it all the time before a game. We're the best. You're going to do it. They go out. Some of them still go get beat. They do it because it motivates. It gets you going. So we pump ourselves up. I knew a girl one time and she was claiming and demanding and casting demons and casting and doing this. And this feeling of discouragement and doubt and oppression, I cast you out. And we talked and she said, but it made me feel better. God worked through it. I said, well, yeah, you pumped yourself up. I mean, you feel better when you pump yourself up. So it wasn't a supernatural thing. God uses it. God can use it. But it was a natural thing. We're talking supernatural here. God changes hearts. Whereas at one time you believed one thing and all of a sudden your eyes are open and you go, why did I ever believe that? And you begin walking in a newness of life, in a new direction. Lives are transformed. He's not saying that you can change the geography, because I really don't want anyone going away thinking that's what this text says. Because really, that's faith in faith. If I just decide what I want, you know, the wind is blowing a little cool off the mountains right into my backyard. That mountain be moved. Be moved. Move, mountain. Why is it not moving? It's my faith. You see the distortion in that? It's not my faith. It's like God said, I put the mountain there. Stop it. You are going against me. That's why it's not moving. Faith is not in mustering something up of our own accord. Can you imagine? You and I are sinners. Can you imagine God giving to you that kind of power? Hey, whatever you want, just claim it. You just have enough faith, buddy, and you get her done. You go out there and you, I claim that, I move this. It'd be like you giving knives and, you know, Uzis and stuff to your two-year-old. Go ahead. Go for it. Be safe. Whatever you want. No. God knows better than that. It's not faith in what we want. It's not faith in faith. Mustering it up yourself. I got to make it happen. The faith that moves mountains is faith that looks to him. Says, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir. Follows him, trusts him. And when he says, go, though there's a mountain there, you go. You trust him. Whether you put the mountain there, it's there because that's the direction God led you, or it just seems to land in front of you. Sometimes those mountains just land right in front of us. We think, I can't make this. I cannot endure this. Anyone who's lost a loved one, especially you lose a child or something so difficult, you think, I cannot endure this. This is too much. And the Lord says, look to me. And that mountain can be blasted through. It can be overcome. It can be removed. But you gotta look to me. Those are the mountains that he's talking about. That's a practical mountain. Jesus never changed geography. The disciples never changed the topography. No one in history has ever changed topography. So we don't have that example of someone literally moving a mountain. Although with God, anything can happen if he wants it to happen. In fact, when we read in Revelation, he's going to shift the whole foundations. Everything's going to change. But if you place your faith in Christ, that's when he says, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. The idea is that you'll be facing something that seems impossible to you. It seems impossible, maybe even hopeless to you. But he says, it's not. It's not impossible. It's not hopeless. I can overcome. You know, when was the last time that you really needed a mountain moved? You may have wanted one moved. There have been times I just wanted a tall vehicle to be next to me because the sun was shining in and I just wanted a tall vehicle. Tall vehicle? Show up! You know, can't do that. You don't really need it. But there are times in life, there are situations that we have to face. They are in front of us. And we need to get through them. It may seem impossible, but Jesus is saying they're not. You can make it. You can overcome. You can do it. You can overcome the problems today by listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. With the Word of God in you, you'll be able to deliver counsel to someone that heals. You know, you've been in a situation where someone comes up and they say, I've got this problem. You go, oh, wow, I wasn't ready for that. That's a big one. You need a pastor. You need a real big pastor. You know? But no, they don't. You have the Word of God. And if you will look to Christ, rather than giving your own opinions, well, here's my thoughts, here's my thing, here's what I did. The Word of God says, here's where you need to turn. Let me cry with you and pray with you, but we serve a big God. Hey, it's a mountain, and God told us about the mountains. That's what they need. They need right counsel. There's nothing too big for you. You put your eyes on the Lord, and if the problems come to you, and you put their eyes on the Lord, those mountains will be removed. They'll see you as an uprooter of mountains, and guess what? They'll come to you more for things. Instead of you always saying, oh, you got to go to someone spiritual, you got to go to the pastor. No, you and I, all of us are kingdom of priests. We're all the same. We all have the Word of God. It's the same. So you look to Him. Because you have faith, you will see that God is bigger than the problem. If you have faith. Failure has nothing to do with our own ability. Although that's when we fail. But it happens when we're unaware of the presence of God in a situation, or we're unwilling to listen to and follow God. Scripture says that with God, all things are possible. All things. You try to do it on your own, and it might be impossible. But you want to ask this question, is God in this? Is God leading? Is this really you, Lord? And if it is, you can do it. In fact, you must. If you want to see the miracle, if you want to see the overcoming and the overcoming power, you must. You must face it. I hear of people talking about impossible situations in their marriages or impossible situations with their children, and they're faced with it. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And then he says, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. It's interesting because Jesus says that this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting, and yet he doesn't stop and pray and fast. He just casts them out. So what does he mean? Well, that's very important for us to understand also, because Jesus lived fasting and praying. Jesus always did these things. It was his life. He was always prepared for the next battle. His eyes were always on the Father. He said, I only do that which the Father says. I only do that which pleases the Father. So he was in game shape. He was prepared for the battles. So it's not that you find a battle and you go, oh, I'm going to have to pray and fast through this one. No, that's not it. He's saying you need to live this kind of life where you are already prepared, praying, fasting, fixing your eyes on the Lord, because if you're not, you can't handle these kind of situations. You need faith, but you need faith that's practical and real, genuine. I tell my kids all the time, you can't skip the daily work in school and expect to pass the tests, right? That's just the way it is. You can't say, I'm not going to school except on test days. Go in, give me that test and expect to ace it. Because you have to go through the daily life so that your eyes are on the answers. You know where they're at. You've heard them before. The same thing is true when it comes to following the Lord. I mean, athletes know this too. You can't skip practice all the time and expect to be in game shape. It takes a while. You expect to be effective in the game. So a Christian needs to walk daily with the Lord if they expect to be powerful and be prepared for whatever circumstances may arise. Now, practically, times of prayer and fasting. These are important and these are helpful, because what happens is we deny ourselves, whether it's time in prayer or food or whatever it is, and we set ourselves a time and we actually endure some suffering. We lay aside what we want for the sake of putting our eyes on the Lord. There's some self-denial involved. This is important because we live in a culture today that doesn't know anything about self-denial. We won't fast. Fast? Well, isn't that Old Testament? Well, not really. Jesus just said it in the New Testament. So we don't want to do all those things. But it's not that you twist his arm by fasting. It's not that you make him do things by praying. What happens is you begin to deny yourself, preparing yourself for things that are about to come. You experience some form of denial of prioritizing, putting him above everything else. And when you do that, it prepares your heart. It strengthens you. This needs to be a daily walk. Not that you got to fast every week or every day or even more than once or twice a year, even that often. But there needs to be some sense of committedness, putting him first. That's the lifestyle that we need to live. And it's a sacrificial life. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following him. So that's the life that we ought to live in order to be prepared for the problems. We live in a culture that doesn't deny self at all. And as a result, we live in a culture that's very weak when it comes to faith. Victory in your life comes by faith. Read a couple of scriptures. Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So how do we walk by faith? You have to have faith not in what you want, not in faith itself, but in the Lord. And if you have faith in the Lord, here's what it'll look like. You will depend on and entrust and obey his word, submitting yourself to his word. Your life will begin to change as a result of that, and then you will stand out as different in this world. You'll hang in there, you'll persevere, you'll have a different outlook despite the mountains that you face. The world will be amazed, and there will be power in your life as a result. Because you'll be one who is with God. Now that's what it looks like to walk by faith. You're smart. You can figure out a system that works for you and your family. But it'll be a selfish system that only works for you and your family and excludes everyone else. But real victory, which changes the heart and produces fruit and life beyond just you, that comes by faith, not by some system. So let's follow the Lord by faith.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.